Okay, can you hear me? Hello? Hello? I guess I'm good. Thank you for allowing me to preach here. If you'll turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, I would thank Pastor, but evidently he knew I was going to preach and decided to be somewhere else. So 1 John chapter 1, I'll start us off with a story that can get us into the message. I do have a very limited amount of time, so let's get into it. I know a friend who told me a story about how he was with a group of friends that he had, and they were in the middle of service, church service, at a restaurant to eat, a fast food restaurant, and they had all their food in the vehicle, ready to go, but one of the guys had to go back in, forgot something, whatever. Well, my friend, he decided for a fun, practical joke, he would poke a hole in the bottom of his drinking cup. It was a styrofoam cup or whatever. He just wanted to have some fun. So he took his knife, was digging into it, trying to get a little hole in there, evidently got a rather large hole. So he quickly put it back into the cup holder, which sealed it for the time being. Well, the last guy came back out. They started leaving, ready to go, and he was really anticipating getting a nice, refreshing drink, picked it up, and it just poured out right into his lap. He's wearing his suit. Everything just poured out all over. He got mad, threw the whole thing out the window and all that. But what was wrong with that cup? It was the fact that there was a hole in it. There was a defect, something that shouldn't have been there, something that was wrong. And if you decide to stay for the rest of this message, you can understand how that applies to the message that I'll present today. We're going to be looking at the first verse and the fourth verse. So that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. And then verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. We're going to be looking at specifically what it says in verse 4, joy, and how that we're supposed to have that in our lives and how that would affect us. So we're going to look at the first point of the concept of joy, and we're going to be focusing on the first verse in order to see that. If you read through the chapter, read through John, who is John is talking about in this Bible and how he starts this book, he is talking about Jesus Christ. He is describing Jesus Christ in this verse in order to get an understanding of who he is and what he'll be talking about. So if we look at the first part, which we have heard, I like each of these phrases that he has here because I liken that to first being introduced to Jesus and how that can apply to our lives, being introduced to Jesus, learning about him, and eventually accepting him as Savior. So we can see which we have heard. Now, a lot of the apostles and the people during that time, they heard Jesus. He was pretty well known all around Israel, how they heard him, they knew what he was about, they heard what he taught, they heard what he wanted you to hear. And for us today, there's been a time in your life where you've heard about Jesus for the first time, whether it was through a Sunday school teacher, a bus driver, friend, family, maybe even a coworker. But you heard him at some point in time. The very first time you heard him, it was like, okay, who is this person? What did he do? Why is he important? Things like that. But they heard him. The next thing that they did is they saw him, which we have seen with our eyes. That's the next step further, where you've heard him, but you inquire to learn a little bit more. So you see him. You see the actions that he did all throughout the four Gospels, the miracles that he did, the people that he talked to, the people that he was with, and all that, just to see the example that he had and you yearning for that. Then we see the next part, which we have looked upon. Now, that goes a little bit farther than seeing him. I liken that to whenever we have a fellowship downstairs. As you're going through the line, you see all the food that they have there, maybe casserole, vegetables, some meat, whatever, and then you see the dessert table. It's something that you look upon. You see the dessert table, it's like, that's what I want. You look upon it. You desire it. That is what that, when it says, looked upon, is referring to. They saw it, but they desired to learn more. They wanted to learn more. And that is that stage about Jesus that a lot of us have come to, where we desire to learn more. We've heard the gospel, we've seen what he's done for us in our lives, but we desire to learn more, we desire to keep going. And then in our hands have handled. We can see in John chapter 21, 27, and 28, it says, then he said unto Thomas, Reach hither thy fingers, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Thomas was seeking physical proof. He wasn't there the first time that Jesus appeared to the disciples, and he wanted physical proof. He wanted proof to show that what God said is true, what Jesus is, who Jesus is true, and all that. And that's the final step before salvation. We desiring that truth, that proof. We seeing that proof, and we can see that as it comes into our life, as he comes into our life, accepting him as Savior, that proof is shown. We trust it. We believe it. We have faith in it. And I trust that most of you, if not all of you here today, have seen that proof. We've accepted that proof, and we have believed Jesus as our Savior. But now comes to the main part of the message, what I wanted to focus on today, and that's verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I liken our lives to a cup, and this is where that illustration comes in. Before we're saved, we have that cup that was illustrated in the beginning, how it has a hole in it. We try and fill it with joys of the world, whatever joys we want to satisfy ourselves. The problem is that cup keeps leaking, so we have to constantly keep filling it. Keep filling it. We're never satisfied. That is what the lost are constantly doing. They try a little bit of this, doesn't work. Try a little bit of that, it still doesn't work. It constantly empties, and they have to find something else. But when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God got rid of that cup and brought a brand new cup, and he filled it with the pure water. Not only filled it, he not only filled it, but Psalm chapter 23 and verse 5, my cup runneth over. He had that faucet running, full blast into that cup, constant joy, filling it to overflowing, the joy of God, the joy of Jesus. And we were filled to overflowing, that your joy may be full. The problem that most of us have is we sometimes get tired of that joy. We think, I need something else, something to bring more joy in, and we look to the world for some of that. We think, it's not actually full. Even though the faucet is running, constantly overflowing, it's not full. I mean, maybe I'll sneak a little bit in, but it's not full. The first thing that happens, the joy corrupted. The first thing that happens, whenever we start having the doubt in our mind, whenever we think it's not satisfying, it's not what I want, we turn that faucet off. So that cup is still full of water. That cup is still full of that pure water. We still have that joy of Jesus, but it's not overflowing anymore. It sits there, stagnant. Where it's great to have, we're still in a nice area, but it's off. Whether we just forget to read our Bible a day, maybe I'll miss a service, I've got some other things to do, but whatever happened, it's gone. It's not running. We need to go back to God in order to turn that back on, to get that joy to come through. If that doesn't happen, then that keeps going where we pull out a little bit of dirty dishwater. That's the joy of the world. And we think, you know what, I know it's full, I know it's fun, but maybe I can try and sneak a little bit of it in. Like, nobody will notice. It's not that bad. So we try, and maybe one of two things we can do. Either we pour out some of that pure, clean water just to replace it with, or we just try and sneak it in. Whatever happens, it comes out. That pure joy that we have for Jesus, that we have for God, comes out a little bit, and a little bit of that dish water stays in. It mixes in. It's not bad. It's not too dirty, but it's there. It's there, and it'll stay there unless we do something about it. Then it comes to the joy controlled. It may not look bad right now, but if it keeps going, you keep adding a little bit in, keep adding it, eventually you're going to have a majority of that dish water. It's going to start looking worse and worse and worse until there is more of that dish water in there and less of that joy of God. Now you've got the joy of the world as a majority, the joy controlled. You're controlled by that joy. You may not have realized it at first, but it's just a general progression, little bit by little bit, until I like this, I like to do that, Maybe I'll skip Bible reading for today. Maybe I'll skip this service, skip that. I'd rather do this. I'd rather do that. It's a joy that I want. It's a joy that I feel I need. But it's not. And that comes to the last point, the joy cleaned. We need that joy cleaned. We need that filth that has slowly been siphoned into our cup. We need that removed. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That is what we need. We need God to take that cup that is now filled with that dirty dishwater that you wouldn't even think of drinking. Who would want to drink dirty dishwater? But there's enough in there for you to be controlled by that, but it needs to be cleaned. But that is something only God can do. God has to empty that cup, clean it out, and get that faucet going again. Get it back to overflowing. My cup runneth over. Psalm 23, verse 5. It needs to come back to overflowing. Come back to a part where our joy is focused on Jesus. Our joy is focused on God. If we don't have that, the joy of the world can take over. The joy of the world can control. So I leave it with this question that I thought about this whole time as I was preparing this message. Your joy is full, but why are you still trying to fill it? Your joy is full, and yet you try and sneak a little bit in. You try and sneak a little bit more. I mean, it's not bad. It's not that bad. A lot of people say that. But it is bad. In the eyes of God, it is bad. So I repeat again, your joy is full, but why are you still trying to fill it? If you'll close your eyes, heads bowed, eyes closed, just a quick prayer as they get ready for the rest of the service. I thank you for bringing this message to me. I thank you for presenting it to the congregation, Lord. And I wonder, how much of our joy is focused on you? How much of our joy that we have in our life is focused on what you've done, what you constantly do in our lives, and how much of it is of the joy of the world? It may not seem like a lot to us, but it is a lot to you. It is something that is disgusting, undrinkable, and yet we choose to live with it. I pray that we can make the decision to get this right, that we can remove that dirty dishwater, that we can be made anew, that we can change the things that we've done and get that joy back to you, Lord. In your precious name, amen.